guests may be reflected views of 444 Radio Network, its advertisers, or subsidiaries. The content of the show may or may not be loosely based on so-called universal laws. All true stories are based on entirely fictional characters, situations, and ideas. Reality is impersonated. Poorly, the following radio program contains potentially offensive ideas, interpretations, and maybe even language. It was content into the ether should not be heard by humans. Enjoy.
Amazing! I had no idea my skull was threaded for easy access.
But then I had a brainstorm.
We're on a mission from God.
The aliens may bring to us the wisdom of the universe. If not, we'll blast them.
Science is all about facts.
Like the convolutions of my brain are being analyzed.
I hate this.
No, are we really?
We're recording.
Now?
Oh,
yeah. This exact moment. For the moment that just passed.
The passing moment that happened, that's when we were on. We may or may not be on still.
There is no time in the ether.
Very profound.
Actually, I just read that off of a fortune cookie.
We have fortune cookies and you didn't tell me?
I'm a monk. I have like a whole bag of fortune cookies. I'm like the Asian Santa Claus.
Is that where you get your wisdom from? It's like, yeah, people ask you questions like, oh, yeah, let me get my cookie. My sources say maybe. It's better than the eight ball. Well, it depends on what kind of eight ball, I guess.
Yeah, monks don't do that.
Good.
In public.
Well, our last and this one. Well, we want to talk more in depth about one specific type of alternative healing. And this is more of a psychological healing than physiological, although they're obviously interconnected. But we want to talk about shaman journey.
Can you talk?
All right, we have to put a pause on this. I'm drunk.
You're entering the vicinity of an area adjacent to a location. The kind of place where there might be a monster or some kind of weird mirror. These are just examples. It could also be something much better. Prepare to enter the scary door.
I think we're back now.
Are we really?
Yes. And we've sobered up since the last break.
I haven't touched alcohol. I'm a monk.
I'm talking about me and the people in my head.
Yes, we all know you have multiple personalities.
Can't think of a witty response.
With all those brains working, all its personalities.
I ran through all the different possible responses in my head, and I'm like, none of those are actually funny. Like, every one of the personalities had their own response, and like in a millisecond I went through them and I was like, fuck it. I panicked.
Yeah.
Put me on the spotlight.
Are any of them funny? Ever?
No, but I can trick people into thinking they are.
Your nerd one's pretty funny. And your thug one.
I have a nerd and a thug.
Yeah.
Point them out next time, because I don't even know who all the... I don't know everybody, and I find new people every day. And different people create different people in my head.
Well, you know, they do have children if you have real serious... Mine started having children. I started forcing them to have abortions, actually.
Wait, the people in your head have children with each other?
Yes. They give birth to new personalities.
I could see that, yeah.
They overpopulate.
So then you gotta, like, clean house and get rid of, like, some of them?
Well, yeah, you give them birth control and abortions and
that's
pro-choice.
Rude, man. I've never had to resort to that to get rid of any of the voices. I usually just give them their own TV show. Yeah. Oh, well, no, not all of them.
So anyways, let's get on to the topic. We're not going to talk about your psycho
issues.
Shaman journeys.
Shaman journeys. Okay, so you've done, what, 4 or 5 different people recently, and
you mean shaman journeys?
Yes.
Okay.
Because as a monk, you can't do people, but you can shaman do them.
Yes. Actually, this was a gift that I stopped using for a long time. I took a break from it. And actually, I had never known what it was called until more recently. Actually, after doing your journey was the first one I had done in a long time. And
yeah, I don't want to get into detail about mine.
Well, of course you don't.
Yeah. Well, one, because there are people that are living in my head that are real people that I interact with in my life. And if you were to say, like, okay, well, this person or that person lives in my head, and in my head that person's good or that person's bad, then you start, like, creating all these... It creates, like, tension or trauma or whatever. So I don't want to do that. We could talk a little bit about... like the different versions of people. And I know that you have a lot of people that you have done the journeys, and you see the different versions of them. And obviously you don't want to talk about their names, but you can go into detail about like what you saw or learned or felt or experienced.
Yeah, I can talk about that. There's so many different aspects when you're doing a shaman journey. First of all, there's the perception of myself, seeing myself in my shaman form. A lot of times it does come across as violence. I'm usually carrying a sword. I usually kill off things inside your inner landscape. But every person has inner forms, and most people have an animal form. So it's pretty interesting to a lot of people to find out what their inner form is. And if you've ever heard of totem animals, like the Native Americans believed each person had a power totem and a shadow totem. Your power totem is the animal that really resonates your personality. Your shadow totem is the issues and fears that you need to deal with. So like when people I know are like, oh, I'm petrified of cockroaches, or I hate spiders, or I hate this bug or that animal, I tell them, you really need to research what that totem animal means, because it's telling you you need to deal with this issue. I was petrified of spiders, and then when I did my first shaman journey, lo and behold, my inner form was a giant black spider. And it was like basically a slap in the face, like, the thing you fear the most is yourself. Mm-hmm. And it was a wake-up call to me. And I mean, it was to the point to where a spider crawled on me in my car on I-4, and I swerved through 3 lanes of traffic and almost killed me and multiple people because I was freaking out because of this spider.
That's no good, man.
No, and it was a non-poisonous spider. I mean, I was... There's a lot of history to my issue with spiders. I had a stepfather who loved to throw them on me and torture me as a child. So, I mean, there was some history to it, but it basically came down to it was an animal I feared, and there was a reason for it. And once I realized what that animal represented as a totem animal, I embraced those powers in myself and those characteristics, and... it empowered me. And I one of the girls I know recently, she was really scared of cockroaches, and I told her, you really need to research that. She went and looked it up, and she sent me a message later like, thank you for telling me to do that, because it told me what I needed to work on. And she started to address those fears and those changes in her life.
So your spirit animal is basically an archetype or an archetypical symbol of whatever your greatest strength or greatest fear is.
Yes, and people can have multiple totem animals depending on their personality. Most people only have one inner form, and not always is it an animal. It can be a human form or a mythological animal or a combination of both. And your inner form can also change throughout your life, depending on what you're going through and what you've learned. It will evolve.
Let me explain a little something, too. I can't help but compare this to dreams, because dreams are like an exploration of the subconscious. So basically, a spirit journey is just another person exploring your subconscious. So it's not only like what's there, but there's also like their interpretation of what's there as well.
Yeah. Well,
so like whatever symbols they find would be the symbol that would be appropriate between both minds. So it would be kind of like a compromise. Like, say, for example, let's say that like you saw spiders as something bad. You did a shaman journey on someone that saw spiders as something good. Maybe in the spirit journey or shaman journey, it would be more like neutral, because that would be a combination of both different points of views. That might be a bad example. How about an animal? Let's do this. I usually pride myself with my metaphors, so let me try to develop a better one. Let's say one person's spirit animal is a beaver, and another person's spirit animal is a duck. So what it would translate as is a duck-billed platypus. No, don't patronize, laugh me. I know it's lame.
Oh, you're so funny, Tom. No, I encourage people to... Also, a lot of times your totem animal will present itself through its life, or totem animals will try to present messages to you, whatever you're trying to learn. Like, I recently had a hummingbird visit me on multiple occasions, and this is real life. And you know when these moments happen. Like, the hummingbirds have come to my yard before, and they'll just feed on this hummingbird bush that's right next to this swing that I sit on. And usually when they come, they'll be like, oh, they'll realize I'm there, and then they'll fly away. But this hummingbird, 2 days in a row, at two different times, I was sitting outside, the exact same hummingbird, I'm pretty sure, came, didn't even eat off the bush. It just hovered 2 feet in front of me and turned its head sideways, and one of its eyes just looked at me for like 20 seconds, and then it flew directly due north. And then the next day it did the exact same thing, but flew directly due south. I mean, and when I say flew, it just took off and flew really high and disappeared. And when I looked up, to me that was like, hey, something's trying to give you a message. Look up what a hummingbird means as a totem animal. So I looked it up, and it was a very good message that I needed to hear and helped me through what I was dealing with. Like one time I had these millipedes that were just showing up everywhere in my garden, in my compost pile. And I was like, oh, that's just the time of year, you know, whatever. I tried to blow it off. And then the next morning I wake up and there's one in my bed, literally like a millipede in my bed. And I didn't know they were poisonous. So when I looked them up and I read that, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it wasn't just trying to borrow a cup of sugar.
Well, and then it gets even creepier, because not only was there one in my bed, but when I came out of my door to my room, which actually opens onto our porch, there was one trying to come under the door, and it squished it as I was opening the door. So I had to take it outside and pray for it and send it into its grave, because it wasn't completely dead. But it was like, hey, we're trying to tell you a message. So I looked up millipedes as a totem animal, and the message was very important to me. So anytime you have some weird encounter with an animal or an insect, look it up. There's a lot of websites with totem animal meanings, shadow animal meanings. If you have fears of certain animals, look it up, and it will tell you what you need to deal with to get over that fear.
And it's not the animal. It never is. It's always like the issue associated with it.
What's your perception of the animal and what the animal symbolizes and the characters? I highly associate with spiders, snakes, and horses and eagles. Those are the four totem animals that really resonate with me.
And every animal has positive and negative qualities.
So both, yes, exactly.
So, in my life, I've had different encounters like that, too. I've had animals approach me, they are very deliberately conveying a message, even though they don't speak in English, and that would be very convenient.
Depends on who's listening.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. No, they usually speak Italian or Mexicanese. Mammal?
Mammal.
But I've seen snakes. Snakes communicate with me. Actually, one time, a snake led me, when we were actually at Willow's, a snake led me to the cactus, and it was basically saying, like I was making a t-shirt at the time, and it was telling me to use the cactus with the t-shirt, so I did.
It was. Are you on drugs, Tom?
I'm on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen.
Was you Tiger on blood. Drugs, Tom's? I totally missed that sentence up.
The Toms. They do call me Tom Tom.
But back to Shaman around. Journeys.
Do you want to take us through a typical Shaman journey?
Yeah. Normally what happens is the person, whoever I'm doing the Shaman journey for, will sit face to face and we will hold hands in meditation position. And it's a good practice for anyone who is familiar with basic meditation or basic magic or spells of any sort to really kind of build a protection around you that is not going to shut me out, but really just kind of keep you safe and comfortable. But basically what happens is I meditate on myself in shaman form, which is typically me with some sort of weapons and armor. And
it's like your best version of yourself, basically. It's like
it's my warrior version. It's I'm going in to fight in a way. Not always does it end in a fight or turn into a fight. But basically, usually I see myself in a dark space where it's just all black, and then the first thing I experience usually is the person's defenses, which is usually an image of themselves. Sometimes I've had their parents appear before me. People make all kinds of weird defense mechanisms to keep things out. So basically I usually get in through their defense mechanisms, and then it's not like I really control it.
Do you want to talk about how you get into the defense?
Well, I don't really want to put people off. Most of the time, I have to just, like with you personally, I'll talk about this because it doesn't really give anything away, but usually you present yourself as yourself, and I just kill you with my sword, and I'm in past your defenses.
And it makes perfect sense on a psychological level because, one...
It's your ego.
Yeah. It's the person. Everyone has their defenses up. And you have to eliminate or destroy the defenses. So,
and that's just your basic defenses just to get into your inner landscape. Each layer of your landscape has different defenses, and sometimes I will encounter them at different sections of the journey.
When you did mine, you're like, yeah, I had to, like, I cut off your arm, and then I cut off your other arm.
Right. Yeah,
do you not want me to say how violent you were?
Yeah, well, and it depends on what I'm fixing or what I'm trying to retrieve or put into place. So sometimes I have to resort to violence. That's the only way to really change the energy and shift it to where it needs to be. It's like a chiropractor, you know, she just pushes your bones back into place.
Well, you have to think about it like it's a dream, because in a dream, you might kill someone or someone might kill you, but that's not what it's about. It's about, like, what the action represents and the action of...
Transformation.
Yeah, and the action of you, like, cutting someone or cutting limbs off or whatever, it actually... It's a metaphor for, like, pruning, but it's also a metaphor for, like, destroying defenses.
Yes, and that's, you know, it's everything that comes through a shaman journey, yeah, I... It, becomes these details and this great story and this beautiful scenery, but it's all metaphoric for just energy, you know. And like if I go into someone's inner landscape and it's just like thorns and like death and like, you know, all kinds of awful stuff, that's just the energy that's inside of them. It's not like there's actual thorn bushes in them. You know, some people have beautiful landscapes or beautiful sections, giant forest, you know, castles, forts, whatever you can think of. People create the craziest inner landscapes, and it's all individualistic. And and I enjoy it. I love going in and seeing people's inner landscapes. I love helping people. I mean, I've actually used shaman journeys to discover things about the people that they didn't even know about themselves. And they, you know, when I bring the information back, they're like, oh, yeah, I remember that as a child. I remember this. I remember that. And they start to process why they've been doing what they've been doing for years, and to see how that helps them has just been so invaluable on so many levels. And
this actually reminds me of, are you familiar with Edgar Cayce? He's one of the most famous, probably the most complete documented cases of ESP. Basically, he would go into a trance and like people would send him letters, like the letters would say like something like, this is my problem, or I have this or that or whatever, and then it would say like the city they live in, and it would say their name. And while he was in the trance, he would be read this information, and then he would like produce a result. Like he would say, okay, the cure is this. Like somebody said something like they had knee problems or whatever, and then he goes, and this is like an uneducated man, like he goes into this trance, and then he gives this like complete perfect like medical description and diagnosis of what needs to be done, and then the people do it and it's perfect, it's exactly what they needed. So basically what he was doing is like a psychic shaman journey. Like he goes into that person's body or mind or whatever, retrieves the information that's needed to make them heal, and then, you know, and then they apply that knowledge. I would look him up. He's very interesting.
Yes, I definitely will look that up. And a lot of my shaman journeys that I'm doing for people, some of them do just stem from emotional issues, but a lot of times it does start with physical stuff first. And they're coming to me, you know, I have this physical problem, and then I go in. Through a shaman journey, I can find out the emotional root or spiritual root of that health problem. And like with my back problem that we discussed in the last episode, I had to do a shaman journey on myself and go into it and see what is causing this back problem. What is causing me to continually injure this same area? What emotional problems haven't I dealt with? And you know, I did a shaman journey and produced some results with it. And I, you know, and according to Mayor, my chiropractor, I'm recovering phenomenal compared to most people with this injury. The fact that it's been, today's actually 2 weeks since the injury.
Well, you got to think of the sheer caliber of will and faith. Like, that makes an enormous difference in healing.
Yeah. Well, you add the Reiki, the shaman journeys, the teas, the right diet, the yoga, the great chiropractor, the great friends like you, you know, being able to use your pulled for rehab. You know, why shouldn't I be recovering better than most people? And that's what I'm trying to do, is show people, you know, you don't need these drugs, you don't need these x-rays, you don't need these surgeries most of the time. Nine times out of ten, you don't need what they're telling you.
That's true. A lot of times it's not, a lot of times the source isn't what it looks like, and a lot of times the reason people are sick or unhealthy is because they're actually holding on to the source of the problem. And a lot of times the source is such an absurd thing that they would never put it together. Like, for example, a person, I don't know, a person could be, they could have like some gastral digestional problem or something like that, and it could be linked to some childhood trauma, and and they would never put that together. They would never put that association together. They would just constantly go doctor to doctor and try different medicines.
But and treat the symptoms, or, you know, even if they do get to treating the disease. Mayor and I actually talked about this, about how some of her clients, she's basically just maintaining them. She keeps putting the bones back into place, but she knows that the source of these injuries are actually emotional and spiritual issues that the people are refusing to deal with. So yes, she can put the bone back into place, or a massage therapist can put the muscle back into place, but if that emotional issue is still in your inner landscape, you're going to continually pull that muscle, and you're going to continually pull that bone back out of place.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a symptom, recurring, right? You know, cycle.
Yeah. It's like, here comes another lame metaphor. It's like painting a car over and over, even though the car is falling apart. It's like, oh, let's put another layer of paint. It'll make it look okay.
That'll hold it together.
Yeah. That'll keep
it
together.
Add some duct tape.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, well, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, I'd like you to take us on to one of your most interesting and exciting shaman journeys into the ether.
You're entering a realm which is unusual. Maybe it's magic or contains some kind of monster. The second one. Prepare to enter the scary door.
We are back. I didn't do the point. That's something I have to learn. I have to do the 3-2-1 point. We're on air.
What, are you going to point to yourself?
Well, sometimes I forget. But it doesn't matter. I won't listen to myself anyway. All right. So, you know what shaman journey I'm thinking of. If you could go ahead and give us... well. Everything from the beginning, like how you got in to what forms you or not, whatever.
No, we can I don't know if I'll recall it in the same order. It's really hard to keep track of all these journeys that I do. I really leave it up to the individual to record the journey and
happened. It's like a dream. Like, again and again, it's like a dream.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you don't know necessarily what order everything happened. You remember fragments of it.
Exactly. Well, and when it first happens, I usually remember all of it. So, you know, I don't record them in any way, shape, or form. Even my own, I expect, you know, if the other person wants it recorded, they have to write it down. But you asked me to talk about a certain one. And, you know, you're worried about the confidentiality, but the people, most of the people don't care because I'm not going to name them, and most of the people that listen to the show is not going to know them personally, so they don't really care. So Tom had actually asked me to talk about one of my friends that I did, someone I'm really close with. When the journey began, basically, I was in my shaman form with my swords, and this was before I developed my armor, of course. And for any gamers out there, this is really going to resonate with you because...
or any sci-fi or fantasy.
Yeah, anybody like that, because it's very metaphorical. So basically, she appeared before me in her human form, and I chopped her head off. And then...
That's to get in.
To get in.
Destroy the defenses
then,
first.
Where did it begin?
Is this the one where you met her and then did she bring you to the chest, or was it like, were you doing some other things before that happened?
Oh, before what had happened, the main reason for this journey was that I was trying to, retrieve spirit fragments of her, pieces of your spirit, kind of segment itself or form different things or different mentalities depending on what you go through. I was led to this cavern, really dark and black abyss, and I kind of dove down into it, went down into this cave, and there was a mermaid in there. And she had been locked in this cave for a really long time. There was no water. She was really dehydrated, and basically I picked her up and flew her out of this abyss and returned her to the ocean, and she was basically like some mermaid queen, basically. Or she was this...
Was this the one that she didn't have a mouth?
No. That's later on in the journey. That's a different spirit fragment. Basically,
Okay.
This was the spirit of, or spirit fragment of her, that was her feminine energy. Feminine energy is really associated with the ocean and the tide and the water. She was very much the ocean queen, but she had been locked away in this cave by herself in dark, no sunlight, no water. You know, no creatures for interact, so her feminine qualities had really been locked away. So I returned her to the ocean, her inner landscape, and then I met her warrior, like jungle warrior self. It was
Amazon.
Yeah, very Amazon. It was in a jungle. She was wearing this really white skimpy outfit with like face paint on. I mean, she was really
hot. Let's go into detail about this.
She was really hot. Print. And she was basically, actually it was her inner form who led me to this warrior self of hers, and her inner form was a black raven. And
so you came out of you went to the abyss, and then you took the mermaid back to the ocean, and then a raven took you to the Amazon version?
Yeah, well, in a shaman journey, there are guiding spirits, like animal forms, animal totems, other beings that will help me if I ask them for help. There's also my own animal forms that I can send out to find out information or to find certain beings for me. So I had called to her inner form and said, hey, I need help. This is, you know, what I'm trying to do. And her raven form came to me and was like, follow me, basically.
It makes sense that it was a bird on it. Psychological level, like birds are like symbols of messages, or like they're like messengers.
Yes,
kind
well,
of like the way like
the black
god Mercury.
Raven is her inner form.
Yeah.
So when it led me to herself as a warrior, it was funny because we talked a little bit, and then she was like, follow me. And she took off running, and she took a few steps and then jumped in the air and turned into the raven and started flying away. So I started running after her, jumped into the air and turned into my eagle form and followed her. And basically she takes me to this place where there is a basically like a treasure chest sitting on the ground. And I'm trying to remember the order.
Oh, wait, you didn't have the key right away, right? You had to find the key for the chest.
Yes, the key was missing for the chest. And I'm trying to think of where it was.
Did you have to travel to a different part of her psyche or whatever to find the key?
Yeah, the key.
Or fight somebody
for it? See, I've done three for her since that one, so I'm trying to recall the actual order that it happened in. Where was the key?
Well, I remember what was inside. Well, let's talk about what was inside the chest, and then if you remember, we can go back to how you got the key. Now, the person with no mouth, did they have anything to do with finding the key?
No, they did not have the key. That's later on. I'm trying to think of where the key was. Actually, no, it wasn't locked. I could open it, and I went into the treasure chest, and when I went down into it, I went to a different layer of her landscape, and basically it was the Tree of Life, if anybody knows anything about paganism or Celtic mythology. There was this giant Tree of Life, and it was just radiating so much energy, and I was absolutely in awe of it. I kind of just like bowed and touched it and communicated with it, and it was the core of her inner landscape, and it was absolutely beautiful. But then all of a sudden her raven form was in the tree and was like, good luck, take a look around, and flew off. And I turn around, and in every direction surrounding the tree are these like black shadow beings. I called them the Shadow Army. I mean, they just encircled everywhere you looked. There were just thousands upon thousands of them, and they all had the same intent. They were going to burn this tree to the ground and completely destroy it. And of course, I was appalled by even the smallest thought of doing such a thing. And so what do? I draw my swords and I rush into the fight and I just start killing them. And this was actually the first time where someone struck me in a shaman journey and I realized, hey, stupid, you're not invincible here. Things that hurt you here will manifest into the real world. And
so one of these little shadow fuckers got you.
Yeah, he sliced me with a sword in the left shoulder.
So, and when you came out of it later, you said you felt like a physical sensation.
Oh yeah, I had
that.
Physical problems from the shaman journey.
Crazy. Yeah, more evidence that the mind and body are linked.
Yes, and so the battle, you know, I started killing them, and then I started using firepower, like burning them, and then something was like, you know what? Especially when I got cut, that was when I was like, you know what? You have other ways to do this. And that's when I shifted into one of my inner forms, which is like this giant snake creature. And just started killing massive amounts of them at once.
So you were a giant snake. I mean, was that it? Or did you have like weapons? Or did you eat these guys?
Actually, my inner form is that inner form is a snake body, but the upper body is human with eight arms. And
there's a G.I. Joe character that looked like that. I can't remember.
Oh, really?
Name.
Yeah. That's funny. But I had swords and I had thousands of snakes at my command, and I kind of chased down. Actually, all the shadow beings started running when I sicked my
horde of snakes.
They're like,
oh shit, what's this thing? Get out of here.
And my snakes started biting them and poisoning them, and they started dying off. So basically, I destroyed this whole army of shadow beings. And then I go to the tree and I'm like, it's done, you know, you're safe now. And then I turn around and her ex-husband's standing there. And I'm like, you're the one that caused all of this. He was the one that had created the shadow army. He was the one that had created doubt in her. Of course, she allowed it to happen because he had the key to the treasure chest around his neck.
Okay, so that's for he was the one who had the key. I gotcha.
Yeah, she had given him the key. And he went to speak, but before he could talk, I flat out just said, your lies are no good here. And I cut out his tongue and then strung him up by his feet over the tree branch and sliced his belly open and bled him.
You're a psycho, by the way.
Hey, when I'm in my shaman warrior mode, I mean, some of this stuff sounds so awful, but it's metaphoric for what I'm actually doing energetically.
Yeah,
that's the only way it came across. She needed to kill this husband, this ex-husband character that she had created in her mind and given this power that could do this to her. I mean, he was about to destroy the very core of her spirit. And if I hadn't done this, they would have burnt her tree of life to the ground. And her chances of recovering from that in this lifetime would have been very slim.
I feel like sometimes when you encounter these characters, sometimes actual pieces or fragments of the other people, but sometimes they're also pieces of the person who you're exploring. It's version of that person.
Yeah, he was there in her inner landscape, but that was not any part of his being. That was her perception of him, the character she created. So it wasn't him intentionally doing it. Yeah, he was an asshole in a lot of ways. But you allow people to do that to you. You know, if she had never created this character or allowed his real self to come into her landscape, it would have never happened. So basically, you know, I killed him off. Her perception of him, took the key from around his neck, came out of the treasure chest and handed it to her warrior self and put it around her neck and said, don't ever give this to another person. Like, this is yours and only yours. It doesn't matter who it is or how much you love them. You can't give them that power over you. And
so the whole lesson and the whole journey is basically this metaphor about like your deepest point of trust, you know, and like we all have this like strength inside of us. And if you give it up to something else or something outside of yourself, it could do you damage just because it's your personal energy. It's like your personal goodness or whatever. Like, you have to maintain it.
Yes.
Like,
and my philosophy is that you should never let somebody treat you different than you let everyone treat you as. Like, if I don't let most people do that, I'm not going to let you do that just because you're my brother or just because you're my sister or just because you're my mother. A lot of times people allow their husbands to treat them badly, but they wouldn't allow a stranger to treat them like that. And that's where I think people really run into a lot of problems. You should treat everyone and allow them to treat you the same way. If you won't let a stranger do that to you, why would you let someone you supposedly love or someone that loves you treat you like that? And that's where we really run into problems. Like, we tend to abuse the people we supposedly love or care about.
We give them the benefit of the doubt and more leeway than we should.
Yeah. Well, and when you break it down, you're discriminating.
Yeah.
Towards them because they're something special.
Because you have history, yeah. Because you're like, okay, well, they've given me all those happy memories in the past, so they have a little bit of room to hurt me if they want.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy justification.
It's how the human brain works, but people need to start reversing that because not only... I don't necessarily believe that's how we're born to think. I think a lot of it, that's what's been ingrained into us through education and through raising... you know, nurture versus nature. I think it's, some of it is nature and it's what, you know, our natural instincts want to do. But fight that mentality.
Now, it always comes down to faith and like what a person believes and what a person's willing to believe. Now, whether a person actually believes that you go inside their brain and do these things and make these changes, I feel like that In certain ways isn't that important. Say, for example, the one time that you went inside of my brain and you found a child form of me. It was basically like this really hyperactive, like, little kid.
Oh, he was so annoying. God.
But he was like, hey, come here.
I wanted to kick him.
I got this bully. I want you to beat this bully up for me.
Talk about test of compassion.
Well, you want to tell that little story? Because you remember...
don't mind me sharing it?
No, that's fine. That's
okay. Basically, little Tom, came running up to me and really wanted me to... he's like, hey, you have to come kill this bully. This bully's been picking on me. Come on, I have to show you this. And he basically takes me to this bully who's like this red-headed... that, like, the typical bully you would see in any movie or cartoon, but he's not moving, he's not talking or anything, and I realize he's like a wax figure, he's not even a real human. And I was really irritated by little Tom. And I realized that it was a symbol or a metaphor for this whole bully victim cycle. Tom was creating this bully cycle by pretending to be the victim, but if the victim really had compassion for the bully and why the person was a bully, you take away their bully power, basically. So Tom was all like, kill him, you know, kill the bully, we want to punish the bad guy, that whole mentality. So I just sliced the bully up and it was wax, he just fell apart into nothing. And this is where it gets bad. I realized that to really help Tom get over this bully cycle, I needed to kill little Tom. So basically, I killed child Tom.
Yeah, he killed my inner child. But it's not just the inner child, because I know the inner
child. It was your victim child.
It was my victim child, yeah. Because I'm still very immature, so I can attest that my inner child is still very alive.
Yes, you're very childish still.
So
fart noises and all.
Now, when you told me this afterwards, it really hit a trigger. Like, it was something that I kind of knew was true, but didn't really think about, and I didn't calculate that a part of my identity or a part of like my brain was actually like created, like a personality was actually created inside of me that created this victim cycle. So it was like, after you told me that, I realized that in my life, particularly when I was a child, but also like even in modern or recent situations, that I was creating these bully situations, one, by interpreting people as victimizing me, you know, and you kind of project that and it manifests.
But eventually you become the bully as well.
I become a bully because I make people pick on me, and it's against their will. Like, how weird and crazy and backwards is that? But it's also, like, it also comes down to energy, too, because people exert energy, and a more...
Well, bullies are usually bullies because they were bullied by somebody else. It's not like they just wake up, oh, I'm going to be a bully today, just like... You know, a victim becomes a bully. It's a continual cycle. So when you had the upper hand and the power to turn me against your bully, did that not make you a bully? You were wanting me to...
I wanted you to bully the bully.
Exactly.
Sweet, ironic cycle.
And it was funny that he wasn't even a real person. I mean, he was just an idea. You had created this bully. It wasn't even a real...
Beautiful, touching story. And what, like I was saying earlier, whether you believe that you actually do this or whether you believe that Ethan has just a beautiful imagination, it doesn't matter, because when he comes out of it and tells you the story, you really analyze life differently, and you think about like yourself and the decisions you make. And
well, and that's really what confirms it for me, because I mean, having the gifts that I have and doing the things that I do, I constantly question my sanity. Like, you know, I have to. But case after case where I'm doing these shaman journeys, I mean, every single one of them, I come back and I tell these people things that, of course, at first I'm like, oh God, why are you telling this? You sound like a complete crazy psycho person. But they understand what I'm saying. They understand what it's related to from their childhood. I mean, with my friends that I do this for, I'll bring up issues that I had no idea beforehand were actual issues for them. And I've had people cry. I've had people, you know, go, wow, how did you know that? Like, even with you, there was an issue with one of your family members. And
well, I can attest to that, because you found people in my head that when you said that they were there, I was like, yeah, they are. Like, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and it was a person I have never even met, or you had never even talked to me about this person, and bam, it was there.
Yeah.
And it was a very strong presence. And actually, I was pretty scared of the person, so I can understand. You know, I just got a minor taste of your perception of him.
Yeah.
And, so I can't imagine what you really experienced. But again, that's your own perception of him. You know,
if you
filter that with compassion and love for all beings, you'll see that person completely different.
Then everybody's the good guy and everybody's a teacher.
Yes. Yep. So it's your own perception of beings that I'm going in and killing. It's not necessarily that that person is actually a bad person. You've turned that person into a bad person.
Yeah, you're actually destroying my interpretations, which is much better than actually destroying the people.
Yes. Well, and it's up to you to continue the healing process. When I do a shaman journey, basically I'm resetting you back to neutral. How you interpret that person from that point forward is totally up to you. Or, you know, if I clear out a whole layer of your subconscious, it's up to you what you fill it with from that point forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you
so don't
do
go
have
watching
to...
Terminator 2 after purging.
Well, you know, if I remove your view of someone in a negative way, don't go spending a lot of time with them afterwards, because you're just going to form.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's kind of like what you were saying earlier about the chiropractor friends, her regulars that come in and basically, you know, she fixes a thing and then they go out and they're like, oh, and they do the same thing. And then they come back next week and she...
Yeah. How did she word it? How do you help couch potatoes? Or,
yeah,
you know, how do you teach couch potatoes how to be healthy? So.
You guys should be radio potatoes, not couch
potatoes.
And sit on the patios and listen to the radios. And then we'll come back and...
Imagine, if you will, an announcer you can barely understand. He refers to a... But you're not quite sure what he said. He seems to be eating something. Or perhaps he's a little drunk. It's remotely possible that he just said something about the scary door.
This is our final segment of... 3, 2, 1. Into the ether.
Into the ether.
I'm going to say this before we forget. Check out our website, 444radionetwork.com. Check out my t-shirt links. It's magic shirts at etsy.com. Well, that's not what the site is called. But just go to 444 Radio Network and then click on the link to the t-shirts. And send us your emails at iteshow@444radionetwork.com.
And I also want to say to the people out there about your artwork, like, if they see a design on your t-shirt, I'm pretty sure you'd be willing to put it on a canvas. I have a couple of your art pieces hanging up in my room. Do you have any of your art pieces?
I still have quite a bit of art. There was times where I was in and out of galleries. I have moved a lot of times in the past 10 years, really. I have a stack of paintings. I just made more than I could get rid of, so...
Yeah. Well, did you... do you have pictures of the candles as well, like candle patterns?
Oh, yeah.
Because you paint...
The candles are on the website as well. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I do magic candles,
yeah,
too.
So if someone saw a t-shirt with a design on it, they said, hey, I want that on a 12 by 12 canvas or whatever size canvas, would you be willing to do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do any form. I could do any pattern on any format, really. I could do t-shirts,
yeah, and if you have
hats.
An idea that you want him to paint, send it to him, you know, tell him kind of what you want. He's great. He's, you know,
I like the challenges too. Yeah, if you have a different idea or if you want to tweak an idea that already exists.
Of course, you should make them prepaid because you'll be stuck with a mushroom shirt that you...
That's true, yeah. Everybody has to pay first, ask questions later.
And he is a great artist. I really enjoy your work, and I'm very picky about
Thanks.
Artists, so...
Well, yeah, I don't receive compliments very well.
Yeah, but you're allergic to love. We already know that.
Son of a... What can I say? You got me. is there any more profound moments of your shaman journeys that you wanted to talk about, or any moments where you like saw or experienced something that was just like wow?
There's so many experiences that I've gone through in my shaman journeys. They're all significant, whether it's a shaman journey for me or a shaman journey for someone else. So I mean, to really pick anyone in particular, they're all equally... Of course I really like the fight scenes. You know, when I'm slicing things up and killing giant creatures, and you know, I don't play video games really at all, so it's like my fix. And it's actually helping somebody, so it's pretty awesome. There's no real particular memory that comes straight to mind. I mean, they're all so different and in different details and for different reasons, and the fight scenes are always different. I mean, and it's not always a battle. It's not always a fight. Sometimes I'm recreating landscapes, making things more beautiful, moving things back to the places they supposed to be, you know, creating things. It's not just destroying. It's just that most people, especially in our Western society, have a lot of stuff that needs to be cleared out, you know, spring cleaning. But once you get past all that, then it's a lot more like making beautiful landscapes, basically, is what it comes down to. So once we get you all cleaned out, we're going to pretty you up as much as we can. It's going to be a lot of work.
So there was a story that you told me about one of your friends who had like a diamond embedded in her third eye.
Yes, in her forehead. It was really creepy. Because when I came to that state of the journey, or that stage of the journey, we were in the exact same position in the same place we were actually sitting.
So it's kind of like waking up in a dream.
Yes, I thought I had returned to my body, but I looked at her and I realized there was a clear diamond in the middle of her forehead, and I'm like, wait, this isn't reality. And the instant that I realized it was there, it was this feeling of like a wedding ring, how it's binding. It reminded me of the Muslim headdresses, like how they make women, it's like a control. It also reminded me of like the rings that certain African women are forced to wear to stretch their neck, or like certain Chinese women bind their feet out of expectation by men. It was like this form of control of a man controlling a woman. And while it was absolutely beautiful, and like most people would see a diamond in the middle of someone's forehead and be like, that's so awesome, it was actually used as a plug to clog her third eye, her chakra, her brow.
So you felt like it was something bad? Like, did you feel instantly that it was a bad thing?
Oh, instantly. I knew that it was like, it's almost that concept like, oh yeah, that's pretty jewelry, but it's really you just being vain. It was like ornamentation. It was like decorating shackles, like bedazzling a slave's chains. Like, oh,
yeah.
You know, so it was definitely a sign of slavery. Somebody had put it, or she had allowed someone to create that in her inner form, and it was clogging her chakras, her third eye perception specifically.
Did you think that it was put there by another person in her life, or about like by a spiritual force?
It stemmed from her. Well, she had always had an early desire for security. All of her decisions were out of personal security. Her reason for getting married, her reasons for having children, were all based on security issues, which a lot of women have. But hers were very deep-rooted, whether it goes back to past lives or just this life. But she went through a horrible divorce, and her husband, her ex-husband, really messed her up. He was sleeping with his secretary and married her right afterwards. And it was a really rough time for her. But she thought she was past all of it, but obviously this was still there, affecting her. So, of course, in the spirit realm, I go up and I start trying to yank this diamond out of her forehead. And she's like, ow! You know, stop, what are you doing? And I'm just sitting there thinking, looking at it, and I'm like, this isn't working. Am I supposed to, like, cut it out with this sword? And then I'm like, that'll be bloody and leave scars. And I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do? And then I realized I was supposed to send it backwards into her head, because the flow of the chakras go from the forehead to the crown, kind of like a candy cane, over the back of the head, down the neck, and down the spine. So
you had to work with the energy that's in motion, basically, instead of trying to resist it.
Exactly, because every time I tried to pull it out, it was like the power of her chakras, like a clog in a toilet, like it just would not come up. And I was like, well, just pushing it down would probably work. And So that's what I did. I used this power and I slammed into it and pushed it back into her forehead. And it instantly, as soon as it entered the flow of her chakras, it started to disintegrate like a kidney stone. It just immediately broke down. And by the time it reached her bottom chakra, it was gone. So
the way
awesome.
Out is through. There's a Nine Inch Nails song with that name. You know, I like Nine Inch Nails. Right, so I think we covered pretty much the general feel of Shaman Journeys. You took us on some exciting adventures.
Yes, and I do tarot and Shaman Journeys for people, so if you really feel like you need one, hit me up on Facebook. You know, I'm not going to do 20 of them for you. And I do expect everything I do for free, so I expect the person that I do it for to listen to what I have to say afterwards. I will give you meditation exercises, things you need to work on to try to prevent this in the future, because I'm not going to continually fix people's problems, and that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to help you get a good start, get a fresh start, get past, you know, the stuff that's already there, and show you how to prevent it from happening in the future.
So. Yeah, and Ethan doesn't take money, but that doesn't mean you can't donate to him.
Well, and I will take monetary donations, which are okay. They do help pay for things like my cell phone, but things like a bag of dog food, donations to Lakeland Food Not Bombs or any Food Not Bombs, you can do it in my name. Things like that is what I really enjoy and really love to see people do. You know, bring me canned goods so we can cook for the homeless people. Bring me, you know, dog food, flea shampoo, anything for animals, things like that. I prefer that over money. So,
well, thank you, Ethan. Today's show was exciting and adventurous. And once again, I want to tell you guys, hit up our email, iteshow@444radionetwork.com. And is there anything you want to say before we say goodbye to all Radioland?
Is that a real place? Can I go there in shaman form?
Yes. Make sure you recruit fans.
I just, you know, my main goal is to encourage people to, one, be happy. Be happy with your life. Really reach for that true happiness. Get past all the personal ego stuff. And reach out to other people. Love and compassion. Stop wasting all this energy and time on hate and fear and bullshit that we don't need. And really challenge everything around you. Question everything. Question your government. Question their policies and what's going on around you. If it doesn't make people happy, then it's wrong. So,
explore
good luck.
Your mind and work face for that your fears.
Yeah, work for that good karma.
Right on. All right, thanks again, and we will see you guys next week. Probably, hopefully. And that's a wrap.